Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's a delight to see you gathered here in the sanctuary, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. It is the first Sunday of the month, and therefore the day on which we recognize birthdays and anniversaries. We have several birthdays in the month of June. On the 4th, Jace Foss. On the 6th, Carl Madsen. On the 7th, Jessica Nicholas. On the 19th, Jenna Foss. And on the 23rd, Mary McCorkle. Am I forgetting anyone? Let us pray for those who have birthdays in the month of June. The good and gracious God, look with favor, we pray, on these your servants as they begin another year. Grant that they may grow in wisdom and grace and strengthen their trust in your goodness all the days of their life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as for anniversaries, on the 25th, it is the anniversary of Nels and Michelle Lofgren. And on the 5th, I want to recognize that that would be the anniversary of Bill and Pauline. So we'll think about you on that day as well. Let us pray for these couples. Watch over and guide these individuals, O Lord, as they celebrate another year. Bless them as they continue to grow in love toward each other. Strengthen them when times are difficult. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. For Michelle and Nils, let their lives together reflect the love that you have for them and for all your beloved ones. In their hearts, may your peace, which passes understanding, abide all the days of your lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have a few announcements. Our volunteers tomorrow for the food pantry are Buck Gilbert and Ernie and Linda Champlin. On Tuesday at 10 o'clock, we will have Bible study here. We are reading through The Purpose-Driven Life, and we're reading as we gather. Instead of assigning chapters, we're just reading them together. So there isn't any preparation you need to do. You just need to show up. We do have additional books if you want to join us. Do we have any other announcements for today? So today we are using Chosen People. We'll be using that the first Sunday of the month during the summer. So we'll have Chosen People and then an additional piece of paper for you to pick up that has the announcements and other things that you need. So let us begin with the invocation song. Please stand as you are. Sign of that peace. And let us join together in our confession. We have not lived as your chosen people We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son. Sometimes I hate, sometimes I lie, sometimes I waste, sometimes I cheat. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son. Sometimes I am selfish, sometimes I am prejudiced, sometimes I am uncaring, sometimes I am destructive. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son. Resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know this is true.
Thank you.
join together in the prayer of the day. Gracious Lord, we are a chosen people, but sometimes we don't feel like anyone would choose us. Sometimes we feel our best friends and our family don't even know us. It seems the pressures of the world are too much for one person alone. Help us remember, Lord, that each of us is specially chosen to be part of your family, to follow in the footsteps that Jesus walked. And though the road may be difficult, help us today to feel the presence of your Spirit holding us forever in your family. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15. This portion of the Ten Commandments instructs the Israelites to keep the Sabbath. The Israelites are to rest, and they are to allow their slaves, their livestock, and the foreigners living among them to do the same. They were once slaves, so they are to treat their own slaves justly. A reading from Deuteronomy. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male or female slave or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 81, verses 1 through 10, responsibly. Sing with joy to God our strength, and raise a loud shout to God of Jacob.
Raise a song and sound with joy, bring a merry heart and a glad heart.
Blow the ram's horn at new moon and at the full moon, the day of our feast.
For this is a statute for Israel, the law of God of Jacob.
God laid it as a solemn charge upon Joseph, going out over the land of Egypt, where I heard a voice I did not know.
I eased your shoulder from the burden, and your hands were set free from the great deliverance basket.
You shall call upon me in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you from the secret place of thunder, and tested you at the waters of Meribah. There shall be no strange god among you. You shall not worship a foreign god.
I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 through 12. When we carry out God's ministry, we do not for our own glory, but for the sake of Jesus Christ, whom we proclaim as Lord. The power of the ministry comes from God, not us, so that we persevere no matter what, trusting in God's power and promises at work through us. A reading from 2 Corinthians. We do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give light and knowledge of glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body of death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Several months back, a person approached me and said, "I don't believe that people should work on Sunday." "I'll bet you never work on Sunday." I didn't even know how to respond to that one. We've heard that from the time that we were small, haven't we? That we are to keep holy the Sabbath day. And what does that mean? What does it mean to keep the Sabbath day holy? We think about it as, well, we come to church, we spend an hour of our busy week in church. That seems to be good. Well, maybe we take a break from work. And we wonder at stories like the ones that we have in Gospel today, where Jesus and his disciples are walking through a field and they pluck some grains and toss them into their mouths, whether it's because they're bored and not even noticing it or because they're hungry. Why is this such a problem? And why is it such a problem for Jesus to heal on the Sabbath? Well, it's because there's a need to answer the question of how do we keep holy the Sabbath day. And one way that we can define that is by making rules about it. I was looking this up. As my husband said, "You went down a rabbit hole, didn't you?" I said, "Yes, it's because I found out that there are 39 categories of work in which one should not be engaged on the Sabbath, at least according to the Pharisees of the time and according to some of the strictest Jewish sects. Those categories of work are things like field work, sowing, plowing, reaping, gathering and binding, threshing, winnowing, selecting, grinding, sifting, kneading, and baking. Some of them involving making things, so shearing wool, cleaning, combing, dyeing, spinning, stretching threads, making loops, weaving threads, separating threads, tying a knot, untying a knot, sewing, tearing. And some involve the making of leather curtains. These are really dealing with the things that were used to create the temple. So leather curtains were made for the temple. So that means that you can't trap, slaughter, skin, tan hide, smooth, rule lines, or cut. You also can't write or erase or build or demolish or extinguish a fire, kindle a fire, strike the final hammer blow, meaning you can't finish anything, and you can't carry outside of your house. And I look at these and realize that those sound like really broad categories, and they are. And then you have to define them further so that if you have anything in your pocket, men, do you have anything in your pockets right now? Do you have your keys? Do you have some coins? Well, you just violated one of these rules that prohibits you from carrying anything outside your house. Did you turn on a light? I think of all the things that I've done just this morning that have violated one of these rules. I've turned on lights. I drove my car, which is making fire. I think I touched my knitting. That's a violation too. Over and over and over, I think of all the little things that I've done that have violated these Sabbath regulations. You know, they even include things like climbing trees. And I had to look up to see if it was lawful for me to walk my dog. It turns out it's lawful to walk the dog as long as the leash doesn't drag and as long as I don't have to pull it. If you know my dog, this means maybe I shouldn't be walking my dog. Come on, bet it. Because I'm doing work and I'm making him work. And I think if I had been raised with all of these laws, maybe by this time of my life they wouldn't seem burdensome. And there are people who write in asking, how do we keep these rules? That keeping Sabbath is just so difficult for me. How do I keep these? And the answer is always, these are not meant to be burdens. They are meant to set the Sabbath apart. They are meant to set the people apart as well. And I'm thinking, but these sound really burdensome to me. They go against everything that our society tells us to do, and in some ways that's the point. Is it in honoring the Sabbath, what we're doing is setting the time apart, setting ourselves as people apart. And I'm not saying that we need to follow all these rules because we are not under this old law. But we need to understand why it comes up in the Gospels, why this is so difficult for these people. We're told in our first lesson that we need to rest on the Sabbath because, why? Do you remember why? This is when I should have had the children's sermon, right? When I would have asked them all these questions. There are actually two reasons that are given in Scripture, depending on which passage you look at. One that says, because God created the world in 6 days and then rested. And then today's passage, which says, remember that you were once slaves in Egypt. Do slaves get a day off? Not usually. So it's a reminder that you don't have to work that hard. You don't have to be the way that you were in Egypt as a slave. This is a day to be set apart. And Jesus seems to challenge some of these rules and regulations by doing what he does as they go along plucking grains, which seems like such a trivial thing. And it's such an important thing to the Pharisees because they want you to abide by the letter of the law. Jesus reminds them of an instance when David, who is fleeing from somebody who's trying to kill him, is starving and goes and asks to eat the bread of the presence, which is only allowed to the priests. and because he's hungry, because he's about to starve to death, his need for food overrides the law. And he's saying if you're starving to death, then your need overrides this rule against plucking greens. And the question arises about healing. We notice that Jesus seems to like to heal on the Sabbath day, and healing is prohibited. Now, there is an instance when you are allowed to heal on the Sabbath day, according to these rules and regulations, and that is when the person's life is in danger. In an emergency situation, healing is permitted. Is this man with a withered hand in an emergency situation? Is he going to die if his hand is not healed this day? This is how the Pharisees are looking at it. And they're watching Jesus to see if he's going to heal this man. They may have just chosen this man, brought him in there, and waited to see what Jesus is going to do when he sees this man's situation. And they know this man is not going to die if he's not healed that day. And Jesus looks at them and says, is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil? Is it lawful to heal or to kill? And they don't answer because they know that they are the ones being trapped. And he asks this man to reach out his hand, and the hand is healed. Does this man need to be healed on this day? Not according to Pharisaic law, he doesn't. It could have waited until the next day. But why should this man wait even one more hour to be healed when Jesus can heal him? And that's how Jesus looks at it. Why should this man wait for healing until it's lawful for him to be healed? Is not the Sabbath a day of restoration? Is it not a day when our spirits are to be healed? Is it not the perfect day for healing? And that's how Jesus sees it. He looks beyond all the man-made rules to what the Sabbath is really all about. Restoration, rest, healing. Think of how the life of this man changes. That now he can work. That now he's restored to relationship. He's restored to community. His life changes. Why should he have had to wait even one more moment for that sort of restoration? Jesus says that he is Lord of the Sabbath. And he shows himself as Lord by how he treats the Sabbath. And he does things that show that the Sabbath is a day that is set aside, but is a day when Jesus can do things like restore and heal. It is a day when we can do things too. It is a day when we can restore relationship. It is a day when we can heal. I think the Sabbath is a perfect day to pick up the telephone, which is a violation of one of these rules, and call someone with whom you have an argument and restore a relationship. It is a perfect time to gather people together and have fellowship with them and bind together relationships. It is a perfect day to set aside all of these rules and regulations and look at what the Sabbath is really for. A day to acknowledge that God is Lord of the Sabbath. The man-made rules and regulations that keep us from having the relationship we should with God and one another perhaps should be looked at once again. Healing and restoration. Isn't that what Jesus' ministry was all about? us join together in the statement of faith. We believe we are chosen by God, our Creator, to participate in the ongoing work of creation by holding life sacred and being good stewards of God's gracious gifts. We believe we are chosen by Jesus Christ, our Savior, to participate in the ongoing work of spreading the good news of God's saving love and serving others in the name of the Lord. We believe we are chosen by the Holy Spirit, who calls us through the Gospels to believe in Jesus Christ, gathers us as a community of believers to worship together and support one another, and enlightens us with gifts of love, forgiveness, and everlasting life. We believe the Holy Spirit nourishes our growth, preserves us in faith, and keeps us in God's grace forever. Amen. We thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings. Come before the triune God to pray for our communities, ourselves, and our world.
Guide your church to expressions of faith that brings rest and release. Teach your faithful people to be attentive to the spiritual, physical, and societal weariness of our neighbors, that we proclaim your grace through tangible acts of mercy and justice. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Keep us mindful of the rhythms of nature as the days lengthen and the seasons shift toward summer. Grant relief to areas facing flooding or drought, and bring favorable weather for the flourishing of crops, gardens, and orchards. Merciful God, receive our prayer.
Where there is affliction in our world, bring healing. Where world leaders are perplexed, bring clarity of vision. Give a spirit of discernment to political advisors, institutional researchers, economic analysts, and all vocations that inform the work of the governments and policymakers. merciful God.
Please hear our prayer. Provide wholeness and respite to all who are weary, those who struggle in any way, and those who care for them, especially those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Strengthen first responders and healthcare workers in their times of exhaustion or frustration. Merciful God, receive our prayer.
Stir our hearts towards abundant generosity among neighbors who experience hunger and food insecurity. Bless feeding ministries and community food efforts, especially community gardens, farmers markets, our food pantries and little free pantries. Open both our hearts and our tables. Merciful God.
Receive our prayer. We remember the communion of saints whose lives made visible the saving life of Jesus Christ, especially those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Guide us by their example to embody the treasure of your love for the sake of our world, until we come to our final rest in you. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Receive our prayers, O God, and come quickly to our aid through the power of the Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Welcome at the table of the Lord. What instruction that is that
blessing. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and give you peace. Know now to live as a chosen people of God.
Share the good news.